This is the Lunch Bite with Ian Bess.
Welcome back to the Lunch Bite. We're talking coronavirus. We're talking about what plans, real pragmatic steps can be put in place should we not be able to go into our places of work, or alternatively, or in addition, I shouldn't say alternatively, in addition, if our kids can't go to school. So some of the messages coming in, Anonymous sending in a message to say that when it comes to nursery school, you certainly don't need to send your kids to nursery school. You can certainly keep them entertained at home. We don't need technology. We can certainly take stuff like puzzles, painting, coloring, cutting, exploring the garden, water play. So really good ideas about how we can keep our younger kids occupied at home. That certainly wouldn't alleviate the interaction with other children there, but at least we could keep our kids stimulated and not glued to televisions and stuff like that. I think that we are actually too connected to technology in some ways, and perhaps this would be a great way for us to interact with our kids if they were staying at home. Another great suggestion coming in is that what you could do is you could actually start having some podcast stuff that is already available to keep older kids stimulated and updated. Maybe teachers could potentially record a podcast and make that available on WhatsApp groups. That's the other one that's come in. WhatsApp groups are a great way to keep kids stimulated. So those are great ideas, and I think it's really practical that we certainly can make alternatives. Keep your ideas coming in. These are great ideas, especially on the school side. Thanks to all the moms out there that are sending in these ideas. There's another one that's come to my attention, which is really focusing on some of the technology sides of it. And this is probably more relevant to the older kids. And there's been a big adoption of this around the world. I'm not sure how much it's picked up in South Africa, but the likes of Google Classroom, and just for those that aren't familiar with Google Classroom, is basically an online platform that is hosted by Google, as the name says, and effectively the respective children from the class are given logins and they're given all the details to access it, and then the teacher is able then to provide the various assignments or the homework or the tasks and that, and all the other tools such as like notes and links to other sites, which would kind of be similar to your school books, etc., are available online. So the nice thing about Google Classroom is that you can interact with your teacher using messaging or having discussions, class discussions. They also incorporate other great stuff, other tools like Hangouts, where they can actually do like a class interaction. Is this a time to start experimenting in the way that China has been experimenting with the work from home? Could we start doing some simulated training with our kids? Not to say that that would replace the classroom environment, but it would enhance it in a sense that kids can then basically do their homework, get it marked by the teacher online, and in the case where they wouldn't be able to go to school, they wouldn't fall behind. So I think these are great ideas that are coming in. Another topic that is really making the headlines at the moment is what are people actually doing with regards to greeting one another. And I know that was like something that is quite controversial. You know, it's almost our tendency that as you walk up to somebody, depending on, I guess, who the person is, you would naturally want to shake their hand, or you would want to embrace them, or whatever your kind of greeting would be. And one of the hardest things is to try and change habits. So one of the things that came up in a workshop that I've been working on, one of the suggestions was to keep something in your hand. And I found that as a very simple yet effective tool, is that walking around with something in your hand, first of all, it reminds you not to shake a person's hand. And on the other side, it also makes it like practical that you actually can't shake the person's hand. So it doesn't come across as offensive that you're just standing there with your hand and it's like very awkward where the person's waiting for your hand to come up and you're not presenting your hand. So I'm also interested to see what your thoughts are on how do you say to people, sorry, I'm not going to shake your hand because don't want to catch coronavirus for you, or is there a more subtle way of showing people that? Just looking at some of the other messages coming in, another message coming in suggesting that when we're looking at work from home, so this is related to the work aspect that we were speaking about. The one thing is that you have to plan. So don't wait until you're told to stay at home. So listener coming in, and I'm sorry you didn't put your name in there. Figure out the necessary tools to get your job done outside of the office. And this is quite an interesting one. They give like practical tips. I guess this person that's written in has actually done this, because it sounds like a very well worked out plan here. So the one thing that they say is that you need to communicate clearly. One of the key aspects that came out is that there's no popping your head into someone's office or dropping by someone's desk to check the status of the report you're waiting for when everyone is working from home. That's quite a valid point. You know, we take for granted that if we're sitting in an office space, we do have access to our colleagues in that. So you need to think, well, what are the alternatives to do that? And if you can't just walk into a colleague's office, it's very imperative that you set very clear assignment deadlines and give regular progress updates to make sure everyone's staying productive and working as efficiently as possible. Somebody else writing in here about email etiquette. Keep the email short, sharp, and to the point. Yes, I guess one of the things about working from home or working remotely, wherever you're going to be, is that your email load will probably become quite increased. So people certainly don't want to be overcome by lots of emails. So let's rather be pragmatic and keep the email short and sharp. Another suggestion just on the back of that, which works really well, if you are writing an email, start with exactly what you are asking that person to do. Don't waffle for hours and beat around the bush and then right at the end of the email say, please can you send me the latest sales report. The reality is people, as I say, don't have time, and if they read one or two sentences and you're going on asking them if they're feeling flu-y or if they're enjoying working from home, they're going to miss the point. So be sharp, say up front, hi there, can you please send me the latest sales report, and then give a detailed explanation or go into more detail. That gives them the option to either continue reading if they need more info, or they can just give you the report. All right, the time's coming up to 28 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. We're talking here on the lunch part about specifically some of the planning you can put in if you had to be away from your work office. And what are you doing in terms of policies? Are you putting in policies that would allow your staff to work from home? I'd love to hear some of the plans. What are you doing about meetings? Is there a better way to do meetings? And once again, love to hear also about your kids. If your kids aren't able to go to school, what can they do? You can reach me on Telegram. I lost the number for a sec. Hold on a sec. That was weird. My mouse just took me to the bottom of the page. Okay, Telegram 0618951019, or you can SMS us on 34519.